I had that same feeling. We ended up doing a weird, not harmonious harmony.
I know. Should we do it again? Should we do it again?
Do you actually think it's going to be any better if we do it again?
Yeah, but you're telling me, should we go high or low?
I just think we should always go high.
Okay, let's go high. Ready? Ready? Okay, if you're listening right now, how are you not laughing? How are you not cracking up if that is how we start our podcast?
Welcome to the Create Podcast.
They're like, these girls are totally on psychedelics right now.
Oh, they are tripping. If only. I'm on a sugar high, but other than that.
Speaking of sugar high.
Well, we are Natalie and Kristen. Natalie,
hi.
Me. I'm currently in Toronto, Canada. I am under a quarantine because there is a Quarantine Act in Canada, and I have just flown back home to I'm actually a dual citizen, but Canada is my home country. I have flown back in to be reunited with my long lost love who I was separated from during quarantine. And he is a phenomenal, like outstanding, out of this world cook, chef, lover, all the things. So during the quarantine, I've been posting on my Instagram. If you're not on my Instagram, you must come and see the pictures. It's at Miss Natalie Roy, MissNROY. And it's just food pictures. It's just pictures of food, 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 food.
I've been going every day for my daily food porn fix. Like I get a hit. So I'll be in my apartment and I'll be like, I wonder what Natalie's eating right now.
Now, it's not just like any food. I mean, my love is from France. So, you know, we're eating like delicious, deluxe, butter-filled, wonderful, decadent food all the time. But the reason we're talking about this, other than if you want to see amazing food pictures, come check it out. The reason is that as I've been posting food pictures, I've noticed this really interesting dynamic, which is people are so turned on and excited to see kind of our love story told through food and our reunion told through food, and to see like all, like, he really is a genius, and the way him and I connect, one of the ways is that we both love beauty. We both love to make things beautiful, and he makes a plate look more beautiful than anything I've ever seen. So as we're posting these things, there's been this amazing, like, love-filled reaction of all these people, you know, loving the food and wanting the recipes and like thinking it's so beautiful and following it. And simultaneously, there are all these people being like, oh my God, I'm getting fat just looking at it. Oh my God, you're going to gain 15 pounds. Oh my God, that's way too many calories. And so what got interesting for me to look at is, wow, what part of us is always busy creating a story about whatever it is that life is doing, right? And that simultaneously someone can create a story that something is beautiful and amazing and romantic and awesome, and someone else can see the exact same thing and create a story of deprivation, stay away, bad for you, and not in any way to judge either. Like, both are beautiful, both are expressions, and we're creators and we're storytellers. But perhaps it just made me have this funny pause of thinking, wow, at every given moment in life, whatever's happening, whether it's a pandemic, whether it's, you know, going to my job every day, whether it's how I'm raising my kids, whether it's how much sleep I got the night before, whether it's how much I weigh, like, at any moment, I'm creating a story about everything. And then that story tells me how I'm supposed to feel about the thing. And so what I forget when I'm going around feeling heavy or feeling deprived or feeling anxious or feeling angry or feeling like I hate that person or whatever I'm feeling, what I forget is that those feelings are coming directly from the story, and the story is something I made up. And so there's just something interesting that sometimes we say, well, I want to change my thoughts. You know, if I change my thoughts, I'll feel better. Like, thoughts create things. Let me change my thoughts. Or sometimes it's, if I could just change how I feel, if I just would not feel so anxious, or if I didn't feel so overwhelmed, or if I didn't feel so depressed. But we never think, oh, wait, I'm a creator. Why don't I just change the story?
Yeah. And that's like what our, I feel like our create is all about is the fact that we have this power to tell the story of our lives and tell the story of this moment. And it makes me think of Dr. Joe Dispenza and so much of the work that he does with people in meditation state is getting into that place where they are living like an embodied feeling sense of their manifestation, so that their body will correspond to whatever narrative they're creating inside. And it's so funny how we can build a story against someone else's story. I was telling you earlier, on my ongoing Ram Dass trip, I'm like, I'm so obsessed with Ram Dass.
All we've done all quarantine is listen to like 2-hour lectures on Ram Dass. Do you remember when we went to Saratoga Springs, like for a vacation, and we spent the whole 3-hour car ride home in utter silence listening to Ram Dass? And at some point, we got the idea, the brilliant idea. We were so zenned out listening to Ram Dass, like dead silence in the car. And it was like getting late at night. And then all of a sudden the car is casually pulling over into the McDonald's. And we stopped and got Happy Meals.
Oh my gosh.
We got back on the road and just silently like ate our chicken McNuggets listening to Ram Dass in the most reverence.
I don't know if I've ever been so happy in my life. It was a moment of perfect peace. I didn't know perfect peace and chicken McNuggets went together. And I remember you and I being in the McDonald's being like, when was the last time you went to McDonald's? Oh no, it's been like, I mean, like 5 years. It's like, and then all of a sudden, I still have the toys from those Happy Meals, by the way. Ram Dass says, we'd rather be righteous than happy in this culture. And it's a real drag. So all of a sudden, this idea of being right, which is really just the ego all dressed up, this idea of something we think we should or ought to do that makes us like robots so we can think that we're on the right side of things, actually becomes a barrier to the moment where our pleasure is, or where our happiness is, or where the living spirit within wants to take us. And so it's just very funny where we draw our allegiances of what we think is quote unquote good, right? Mm. It's like, it's also a very, very Western thing. And I think it cuts us off from being authentic.
Yeah, it's so, I'm going to tell you like a little bit of a naughty story.
That's all I live for.
Forgive me
the naughty story.
So I think I told you guys like once before, I had this really funny moment where like I was like very rigid about my morning practice. Not this one funny moment, like welcome to my life. Mm-hmm. Like you have to do your morning practice. It's sacred. It's ritual. It makes me feel good. Right. And you know how Ram Dass says like anything can become bad for you if you become like addicted or attached to it.
Right. All methods can become addictions. Yeah.
Yeah. So like my morning practice has totally at different points become an addiction because it's like, I don't feel good if I don't have it. Right. So I had this funny moment where like my love was in bed and we were all cuddled up together. And I'm like, I have to get out of bed and do my morning practice. And I'm sitting there like writing in my journal of my desire list for the day, my positive intentions. And I was writing, I want to feel the arms of love wrapped around me. And then my phone is ringing. It's my love from the bed. And I'm like, what? I told you I'm doing my morning practice. Don't call me. And he's like, I just wanted to know if you wanted to come in and have cuddles. And I was like, no, I'm doing my morning practice. And then I hung up the phone and read what I had just written. It's like, oh, you know that like metaphor of like God says like a boat and you're like, no, I'm waiting for God. It's like, get in the boat. You know? So during quarantine, so we're really like locked in. Like we really have nowhere to go. We are stuck in this incredibly gorgeous one bedroom apartment, but we're just, you know, we're hunkered down. So that's hence all the food pictures and all the eating and all the hanging out. So I got up the other day and I was like, my morning practice, I'm doing my yoga. And so I pull out my yoga mat, I'm listening to my yogic music and I'm doing my, yoga. And all of a sudden I can kind of hear my love like, ooh, oh. And next thing I know, he's kind of coming closer to me. He's kind of like behind me and I'm like, doing some like cat cow, and he's like,
"You're like a downward dog."
And next thing I know, he's just like jumping on me like a wild animal. And again, but this is the evolution. But my first instinct was like, "Wait, I have to do my morning practice. I'm doing yoga to get in my body." I'm like, "Oh, wait, I'm in my body. My body is having desires. Screw yoga." You know?
Yes.
There's more than one way to that spiritual mountain.
We call this one tantric yoga.
But it is kind of that funny thing of like the rigidity that we can get into a story of deprivation. We can get into a story of everything has to be this way, the way I control it, the way I manage it, and when life shows up differently, we actually don't know how to accept it. We assume if it's outside of our plan that it's not the right thing to be happening in the moment. But how often is the quote unquote wrong thing that happens the thing you've been waiting for, the thing you've been asking for, the thing that could turn your life around?
Well, I literally saw this Liz Gilbert post the other day on Facebook where she was talking about how sometimes she gets in a routine and she just gets so like attached or married to her routine of whether it's journaling in the morning and her meditation and all these things. And she was just feeling a little like funky and had to like reconnect to the spirit within that was like, what if you went to the beach? And I think in the story, she like rented a car and just drove and got herself to the beach. And I remember reading this post and I was like, yeah, see, the reason that we have these habits or these practices is a way of daily reminders to connect with self. But sometimes when you connect with yourself is like, I have some beauty for you over here. I have some sex for you over here. I have something good for you. So what we really want is the intimacy and the dialogue with the inner self, which is constantly going to surprise us.
Yeah. And that's what gets really exciting when we talk about like, what story are you creating? So one of the like amazing, I mean, I have so many teachers and gurus and people that I work with and that I love. And one gentleman I've been working with is, he's actually a chiropractor by trade, but he does a lot of, he's seen a lot of like patterns as they show up in the body. And he's really like done a lot of work around like what those kind of patterns mean. And so now he teaches a lot about mindfulness, the nervous system. And he talks about how whatever state the nervous system is in, you end up creating stories from that state of being. So if you're in a state of anger and rage about somebody, then the story you create about that person can only be through the filter of that anger and rage. So you will actually not be able to remember anything about them other than all the times that they've made you angry and rageful in that moment. But you know, it's like the exact opposite thing when you're just like totally in love with someone and your nervous system is totally relaxed and you're totally in like happy mode. You can only remember the good things about that person. That's why when you go through a breakup with someone, in the moment of breakup, it's like, I hope I never see them again. They're the worst ever. And then don't you notice like 2 or 3 months later, you're like, oh, I miss this thing about them. Oh, I miss how they used to do this. I miss we used to do this together. But at the time of the breakup, you couldn't remember those things. Like those things were not existing. They couldn't exist in your story because the story that you were telling create how you feel about something. So oftentimes something will happen in the outside world, like a pandemic, or like you lose your job, or like you don't get that thing you really wanted, or like that breakup, or you get stood up, or whatever the situation is. And all of a sudden, before you start to feel anything about it, if you actually notice, that thing happens and you immediately create a story about it. You immediately say, what does this mean about me? So you get stood up. That must mean I'm unlovable. That must mean I'm unworthy. And you start to create a story about how you've been hurt, how you've been victimized, how you don't matter, how you're not important. And then if you look that after the story comes all the bad feelings. I feel guilty. I feel shameful. I feel unlovable. I feel unworthy. I feel like I don't like myself. I feel like I just want to eat 3,000 tubs of ice cream, right? But the feeling actually comes from the story. And I love how Sarah Blondin, our favorite girl, we love to do fake meditations too. Sarah, she's this wonderful, wonderful incredible meditation teacher, but Kristen and I always used to love to say, let's go do a Sarah meditation when we were in Paris together, which basically meant we would go take a nap and listen to Sarah's voice in the background.
She's so soothing and she's so loving and she's always like, hello, dear hearts. And like a couple lines in, Natalie are like, I'm so relaxed.
So we've listened to all of Sarah's meditations, at least the first like 3 minutes of all of them.
Yeah. Shout out for Sarah. Her podcast is called Live Awake If You Want Your World to Be Rocked.
So good. So Sarah talks about in many of her meditations, the unstoried self. And I love this idea that who are we outside of the story that we're making up? Or outside of the story that someone else has given us, right? Like you're supposed to be this person. You're supposed to do this thing, the story that your parents hand you, the story that culture hands you. Because what happens is the story comes first, then the story creates the feeling, and then the feeling causes us to have to overcompensate, work really hard, get into deprivation, whatever, because we have to try to make ourselves feel better. But what would happen if we started to ask ourselves, in Sarah's words, who is Natalie, who's the unstoried self? Who's the unstoried Kristen? Who's the unstoried you? So there's no stimulus that makes you feel anything. What do you feel just as you get into your body, as you're just listening to us right now? What do you feel right now outside of creating any story about it?
Yeah, that makes me think a lot of Michael Beckwith. I was listening to his Sunday sermon on agapelife.com, and he was talking a lot about, especially right now at this moment in time, how we let circumstances create us instead of us creating our circumstances. Mm-hmm. So the thing that happens when you really commit to being into a practice, whether going within, meditation, spiritual study, affirmation, is you connect that place inside of you that is infinite, that is limitless, that has opportunities everywhere. And when you connect to that part of you, then from that place, you can bring any story that you want to life. You can bring the story that I am a magnet for great opportunities, that no matter what's going on in the outer world, that I bring beauty to my life. You can go to that place. And he says it becomes our responsibility, especially at a time right now, to go within and say, I will create from a realm of limitless possibilities the world that I want to live in. Mm. And he talked a lot about who are you surrounding yourself with, because stories are contagious. And if we're hanging out with people that are gossiping or talking about how much money they don't have or how all the bad things that happen to them, that we can start to like jam on that level with people. Right? And like what we want to do is surround ourselves with people where there is like high-minded talk, where it's like, oh, I hang out with people that have a vision and talk from that vision. Mm. I hang out with people that are committed to telling stories about healing, that are committed to telling stories about hope, about upliftment, right? Because we will live into our stories. And I love what you said of, and they live in a feeling place in our body. So more than what even like comes out of our mouth, I remember him talking about like your diet isn't what you put in your mouth. It's what comes out of your mouth, right?
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I could use that lemon tart. Yeah. Quarantine diet.
Yeah. Eat the lemon tart, but talk about hope and possibility and love and joy and peace and equality. Right. Mm. It's like, when we are knowing who we really are behind, you know, beyond the circumstance of the world, and we are speaking and creating from that high-minded vibe, it feels different in our body. Mm. Right? So there's been that, you know, the muscle testing that they do.
Yeah.
Right? They say like, say something that isn't true, and then you do the muscle test and you're weaker than if you like say something that is out of love or hope or truth. You actually become stronger. So these narratives that we're telling actually empower our bodies. They work on our cells. They change us. And at any moment, we can kind of just check into our bodies, and our bodies hold that story of what we're feeling.
Absolutely. It reminds me of Dr. Emoto's water studies, you know, the incredible, I believe he's from Japan. He did the studies on the water where he played like beautiful, loving music and told the water it could do anything and it was powerful and it was loved. And then he had the opposite where he, you know, told the water it was hopeless, it was useless, it said cruel things to the water. And noticing that beautiful crystal formations would form in the loving presence, and how different and murky and changing the water would get just in the story it was being told about itself. Just in the story. No feeling. The water didn't have any feeling. Water's water. But it was just the story it was absorbing actually changed, like, chemically what it was. And, you know, if we're anywhere from, what is it, like 55 to 70% water, depending on how old we are, then what are we absorbing? What story are we absorbing? And most of the time, it's not even our story. Most of the time, it's just something that was repeated that we grew up with, you know, that has nothing to do with who you are, with that unstoried self. And I love Dr. Nima Ramani says, it's about understanding your sensation without explanation.
Ooh,
isn't
that's
that great?
Good.
Like, the story is all about, like, here's all the words. It's mental, right? It's the mind. It's the ego saying, like, here's how you should feel about this. And also, it loves the drama. Like, the worse it can make you feel, the better. Or, like, the better it can make you feel, the better, right? It loves the extreme, the duality, the polarities. But the sensation without explanation, like, if we just go deep into, like, what do I feel in this moment without story? Like, oh, I just tasted the lemon tart. Oh, well, the story would be, oh, did I eat too much of it? Should I have had that? Like, the story is, okay, great. Outside of explanation, outside of story, what's the sensation? Oh, I feel like satisfied. I feel pleasure. I feel present. I feel nurtured. I feel cared for. Oh, I feel like, what is that feeling? Awesome. That has nothing to do with the story. But which one is going to win? Every time it's going to be the story. Because once you tell the story, you're going to change the sensations. And so how much of the time do we not know how we really feel? Because the true sensations left the building, got covered up by the story sensations that have now taken over.
Well, it's so interesting that you would talk about this, because I have noticed something just in my physical body. If I know that whatever my body is feeling is what I'm believing, often we say in storytelling, I was actually just going through the hero's journey in my writing class on Sunday. And I was saying, you know, I love story structure because to me it is spiritual math, right? And our characters always are what they do, because the actions a character takes shows where their beliefs are. So whatever we see a character doing in a script shows what they actually believe. You can espouse one thing, but what you do shows really, like, where your money is at in terms of your actual beliefs.
Mm.
So that reminds me, it brings me back into my body and go, okay, whatever's going on in my body is what I'm believing. So I've just been noticing this, like, trend in quarantine. You know me, I love to do all the things. I love to have all the projects. I get excited by all the things, and then I want to do them all. And I was just noticing that there's so many things I'm excited about right now, so many things that are turning me on. But in the practice of doing them throughout the day, I would find myself getting this, like, kind of like piercing sensation in, like, my right shoulder. And as I was like, yeah, do you have the same one?
I have the same. Well, we're twins. Yes.
We're total twins.
And it's on the right. It's exactly
it's right
that,
there. It's
that
exactly
trap.
That. It's exactly. That trap. Oh my gosh. You and I both have it.
We have the same trap. It's like an Achilles heel on our neck.
It's literally like we both have the same trap. And
literally.
And I just noticed that when I'm juggling clients and my projects that I love and, you know, the people in my life that I love, something happens throughout the day if I'm not being mindful, where I start to hurry or rush, and I don't even realize I'm doing it. And it goes back to the girl in high school who wanted to get all her homework done because she also wanted to be in the play and she also wanted to play volleyball. It's like she wanted to do all the things, and at some point she believed she had to rush, which is a belief in scarcity, that there's not enough time, and so I start to push. And the moment I start to push or hustle, I can't enjoy the thing that's actually in front of me that I really love doing. So I now have a narrative, even if I'm not conscious of it, that I can't actually be with the thing I love.
Yeah.
Right? So I can create separation between me and the thing I love by not being present. And I'm so grateful for my shoulder because it shows up in sensation.
Yes.
Right? All of a sudden, the sensation is like, hey, you're hustling. It's the little girl who wants to get the A's. Right? And that's also the little girl that's trying to get validation from the world as opposed to getting validation from herself.
That's exactly right.
Validation.
I had a chiropractor come over and touch it, not during quarantine, before quarantine. And I was at like a business conference and he just came up and he touched it and he said, do you have pain here? And I was like, yes, guru, I do have pain there. And he said, what is she scared of? And I said, who? And he said, little Natalie. And I was like, oh, I think she's scared of, he goes, if you stop abandoning her, she won't be scared anymore. And I really thought about that because I was about to create a story of maybe she's scared of not being enough. Maybe she's scared of people not liking her. And it's like, no, she's actually scared because she's alone, because I've left her to go be somebody.
Yeah.
I've left her to go achieve something.
Yes.
I've left her to go make an impact on the world.
Yes.
And what we forget is, oh, we bring her or him with us because they're actually the superpower. They're the one who knows, like they're the kid who juggled all the things, played volleyball, had all the friends, did all the things with ease and with joy. And it was never a problem. Like they actually know how to do it all. They have the alchemy. They know how to transform something into anything. They were the survivors of their family of origin. They were the survivors of every deep pain, every bully, everything. They were the one who was strong enough to know how to get through it. And for some reason, we forget to bring them along and trust that they actually know what to do. And what they're going to tell us to do every time is go easy, play more, have more fun, be in pleasure, have dessert first. And there's something about it that every time we don't trust that,
yes,
or we don't acknowledge it, that pain's going to show up.
That's right.
That monkey on the neck is going to show up to go, hey, you forgot to bring your super magic weapon with you.
It's like she's tapping right there. Being
totally.
Like, excuse me, me please. Please, let me play. And then
that's so fascinating.
Right? And then I've been playing with, well, when I allow her to start playing in the moment, she really wants to feel good. And, you know, my girl is very sensual. And her desire is really to bring sensuality into everything that I'm doing. Yeah. So whether it's I'm washing the dishes or I'm sitting here reading emails, she wants to play, she wants to feel, she wants to use all of her five senses, she wants to explore. And it gets me out of my mind and back into my body. And it reminds me, you know, that thing that you said about sensation without explanation or judgment. There's been something I've been doing with clients recently when they're in a story and it's like a deep negative story. One of the things I've been asking is, well, where do you feel that in your body? And as they start to describe the feeling in the body, oh, it feels like a pit in the middle of my stomach. It feels like a heaviness, like a darkness. And as they like bring their center of awareness there and start to describe what they're feeling in their body, it actually starts to move. So it's almost like those sensations that are happening in our body want to be acknowledged because you know, everything being energy, it's all in motion. And then once we acknowledge it, once we bring our full presence to it, then it can take us somewhere else, because our energy is creative also, right? This energy has something it wants to do if we will let it. But if we're so deep into our story of what we think we need to be doing, or if we've like left the building of our body, that energy can't move and it gets stuck.
Yeah. And it's really about learning, am I willing to be intimate with who I actually am, with what my actual sensations are? Because for many of us, if we're being truly honest, we don't know. We know who we've been told to be. We know who we've become based on the standards that were set for us. We learned at an incredibly young age, oh, this makes mom happy, I'll do more of that. Oh, that makes dad happy, I'll do more of that. We are like sensing from the moment our senses are enlivened, we're sensing how to belong.
Yes.
And so everything we do is, how do I belong? How do I get love? How do I belong? How do I get love? So then we get to this stage and say, hey, I'm a creator. I came to this planet to be a creator. But all we're doing is regurgitating all of the actions, habits, behaviors, thoughts, all of the things that we've trained ourselves to do in order to belong, which is the opposite of the creative process, because creativity is the thing that doesn't try to belong to anything that's been before. It's the thing that wants to be that hasn't been before. And so there's a real dismantling of even our personality as we know it, to actually just be brave enough to say, I'm just going to sit and see what the feeling is, to see what my body is sensing and feeling, to see what information it has for me without me creating any kind of story on top of it. I'm just going to see what's there. And that emotion, that sensation, that's the thing that's as unique as your fingerprint. The unstoried sensation in your body is your prana. It's your juice. It's like your magic alchemist, magic wand. That's the thing that writes the screenplay. That's the thing that shows up and books the job. That's the thing that directs the film. That's the part of you that knows everything. And we don't have access to it because we're busy retelling stories that were handed down.
Yeah, we keep abandoning ourselves for those stories, for those old stories. It makes me think what we all really long for is intimacy with the self. And, you know, I'm a big second chakra fan. And the thing that's interesting to me when it comes to intimacy with creativity and sexuality is when we give ourselves full permission to do a creative act. So let's take painting. Say you haven't painted in years. Maybe you have some sort of wound around your creativity. A teacher told you you have no idea how to draw a stick figure, and so you never allowed yourself to be creative. The moment you give yourself permission to be creative again, you get intimacy with yourself by going, do I like yellow? Oh, I like a lot of yellow. Yes, yellow feels good right now in this moment. Tomorrow, yellow might not feel good. Right now, yellow feels good. Mm-hmm. And so you get that check-in with yourself. It's this inner dialogue that feels good of, oh, I want something angry. I want something expressive, right? So being intimate with your second chakra allows you to know who is that person inside. And it's a sensorial thing. And the same thing sexually, right? An intimacy with your sexual self is going, what feels good in this moment? Ooh, this hand, my own hand upon my leg right now at this moment feels great. Ooh, do I want to be touched? Oh, no, I don't want to be touched right now. I don't want to be touched. Maybe later I will. And so it's the intimacy of being able to go, what feels good right now? What doesn't feel good right now? What might I prefer? And it's so sensorial, and it allows us exploration. And that's what I think we really desire. We desire to know ourselves. It's almost like we're like so hungry to be known, but do we allow ourselves to be known by our own selves? And then from that place of inner inquiry, we get to really go into this beautiful feeling place. And from there, we can create any story we want.
Right. And no wonder we're walking around with such massive boatloads of insecurity, because we're trying to be known, but we don't know what people are going to find when they start totally. Getting to know us. And so we get terrified. And when things start to get too intimate, we're like, ah, no, I don't even know myself in that way. So you certainly can't. It's so funny to me, Kristen, that you're bringing up the thing about painting and intimacy, because I don't know if you know this, but recently you and I were sharing what were some of our favorite travel days. And you and I both said this one specific day that was our favorite travel day. And it was 1 year ago today. It came up on my time hop. 1 year ago today, Kristen and I were like, let's have an audacious day in Paris. And we were like, we're just going to like wander around and see what our charm is as we do. And I think at one point we went to this fancy chocolate store and we were ordering these little chocolates. And literally at one point, the woman in the store was like, I don't think you want that one. And Chris was like, no, I totally want that one. And it was like the worst thing.
We had no idea what was in them. I mean, I'm sure it was like worms and bugs. They were so disgusting. Like, but they were so pretty.
Chocolate,
yeah, totally.
They were so pretty, but they were so disgusting. So we like threw that away. We went to Sephora and like sprayed all the perfume on ourselves. Oh. And there was like security guards following us around to see if we were actually going to buy something. We were trying to sneak around and just throw perfume on ourselves. Then we discovered this really cool building that was apparently this like artist.
It's like an artist loft. It's like a series of artist lofts. So it's like almost like, it's like six or seven stories of just artists doing their thing. And you can walk around and go watch the artists creating whatever they're creating.
So Kristen and I are walking around and we're seeing all these cool, it's very like hipster and cool and everyone's, you know, doing their thing. And all of a sudden there's this charming, handsome kind of French guy. And he's painting on this giant canvas and there's just paint everywhere. And he has like a DJ, like doing like playing music and there's just paint everywhere. And he looks at us and he says, do you guys want to paint? And we were like, yes. So the next, like cut to, I think it was like maybe 5 minutes later, our hands are smearing like up to our elbows with paint, just like smearing like our bodies on the canvas and smearing paint everywhere. Like it started with like paintbrushes and trying to make it look nice. And then it was and like the music was like bumping and like other tourists were coming thinking Kristen and I were like doing videos of us painting. And then the guy's like, do you guys want rosé? We're like, yes. So we're drinking rosé, splashing paint on this like giant canvas and laughing hysterically. And we ended up leaving. And I think that was when we went and got like red wine and French fries or something silly. Like it was just like, what would be charming? What would be delightful? What would be pleasure? What would be, you know, we had like paint under our fingernails and we're just wandering. Oh. But there's something about that unstoried self of should I, shouldn't I, am I going to get my clothes paint on them? And you, like there's something about outside of the story. What would feel good? It would feel good to just put my hand in this purple paint and just put it all over the wall. You know, that would feel good. Why? No reason. Did it look good? Absolutely not. Have to look good. It just had to feel good. And when we can stop serving the attitude of, does it look good? Do other people like it? Do other people agree with it? Is it appropriate? Is it the quote unquote right thing to do? If we can stop serving that story and start serving the sensation that says, here's what I want to create. Here's what I want to feel. Then we can finally start getting to know ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, because why do we get so caught up in how things look or what we should do is because we're trying to get something from the world. And you know, that phrase I told you earlier of, I am my own supreme nurturer, right? So when I am not trying to get or beg or manipulate someone else to nurture me, right? When I'm just coming from the place of, I know how to connect with my body. I know how to ask myself what I want and what I need and what feels good. I know how to deeply nurture myself and I know how to fill myself up. And then I can come to the world with something to give, with something to share, with something to offer, and it can be a free gift.
It's beautiful. So yeah, the real question for you all this week is, what story have I been handed? What story have I been creating, you can do this in the middle of your day. Like I can notice, oh, it's 5:30. Up until this point, the story I've been creating is this. Starting right now, the story I want for the rest of my day is this. And I base the story on how I want to feel. I want to feel light. I want to feel playful. I want to feel joyful. Okay, well then the story I've created up until this point isn't going to get me there. The story of hustle, the story of my to-do list, the story of not enough, that's not going to help me feel light and joyful. So if what I want to feel, I start with the feeling, if what I want to feel is light and joyful, what story do I have to create at 5:32 p.m. in order for that to happen? Well, I guess I would have to create the story that, like, I got this and it'll all happen in its own timing, and I'll make a list and I'll do the things that feel good and I'll be responsible but with a light touch. And, you know, like, what might that look like? And then I get to create it. And then tomorrow, if it didn't work, I get to create something else. And there's no right or wrong and there's no judgment. It's just, is the story serving the sensation that is organic and authentic in me, or is it serving something outside of me?
Yeah. And because we're creators, every day we get to experiment. Every day we get to explore. Every day we can try on new stories and then halfway through our day, change it. We get to be creators and see what serves us, and how empowering.
And if anything comes up for you around, well, I don't know how to write a story, guess who does? Kristen Hanke.
Woo! You guys.
Is that a good segue or no?
Oh my gosh, you're like a pro. You're like segue champion of the world.
Okay. I thought it would bring me sensations of joy if I had a good segue. It
brought me sensations of joy. Do you want sensations of joy? Well, you guys, I have a class. It's called the Creative Gym. So if you want to flex your creative muscles, if you have stories you want to tell and get on the page, I am doing this class, and it is pay whatever you want. I just felt like right now in this time of pandemic, there's a lot of people that have stories that are percolating inside of them. And I know for myself that if there's a story in me, it starts talking to me all day long and it will get louder and louder until I commit to it. And so if you don't know where to start or you want a community of support around you, you guys, the communities that come out of my writing class, it's just like tribes of love raising these stories, reflecting back to each other their brilliance. And I am so excited to come and show up to these classes because of how spiritually fed I get by them. So you can email Kristen Hanke Writing Class, and you spell my name, KristinHangi. writingclass@gmail.com. It'll get you all the goods and it'll be a great time.
Oh, it's so good. And there's nothing like having that community support when you're creating something, because there's so many moments on the journey where you create the story of how you're justified bailing on your idea.
Yes.
And so having community of a bunch of other people wanting to bail on their ideas, and you're like, no, but your idea is so good, don't bail. That can help us stay the track. It can help us stay the course. That sense of belonging for who we authentically are and the story we authentically want to create. It's so good.
Speaking about being authentically ourselves, Natalie, do you have an offering?
What a good segue. Well, actually, I have a free gift for the community. So if you are not on our Create Facebook page, if you come and join our Facebook page, you are going to be bestowed our free gift. Over on our Facebook page, which is the acronym for Create, c.r.e.a.t.e, Create Community Facebook page, starting on August 1st, I'm doing a free 7-day course called The 7 Days of Sacred Shadow. And in this course, I'm talking about the storied parts of ourselves that are not us, the parts that we would call the shadow, the unloved parts of ourselves, the parts of ourselves that we judge, the parts of ourselves we don't like, the parts of ourselves we do not want to integrate. So, for example, we can look at the victim part of us. We can look at the perpetrator part of us. We can look at the part of us that hasn't had their full expression. You know, we can look at the attached, resentful part of us. So it's an opportunity with this free course to every day come and connect in community with a free live video of me offering, you know, a teaching on 7 different ways that the shadow shows up. And then there's a meditation and an exercise for you to take and do that day and that night and share in community about what you're learning and what you're figuring out. So there's an opportunity for intimacy on the community. So
when does this start again?
It starts on August 1st. So August 1st through 7th. Write it down, Kristen. I'll be posting the page in the Create Community page every single day. And then within the chat of that post, we can all share our experiences and what's coming up. And it's really like shadow work is something that has gotten me through quarantine and gotten me to a next level of self-love during quarantine. And so I just really know the sacred gift of it. And I also know that in this moment in time where there's so much separation outside of us, it's reflective of the inner separation. And as we heal the inner separation, we'll actually start to see some of the forms of outer separation change as well. And so I think that there's no better time to be doing this work and doing this in community. So that's why I'm doing it as a free gift for you all. And also, if you're not on our mailing list, I've started sending out weekly mindset newsletters that just give you, you know, like a little sacred pause every Sunday, a little something to think about, a little mindset check-in. And if you want to get on that, just come over to our Create page, thecreateseries.com. Make sure you're on our mailing list and you'll get those as well so that you have lots of support during this time.
Hey, Natalie, thank you so much for your generosity. That's really
thank
lovely
you for
of
yours.
You.
Yeah. It's good to serve.
Uh-huh. It feels real good to give sometimes.
Oh man. Thank you guys for listening. We love you. We love all of you. And we can't wait to start getting to know more intimately the unstoried you.
Have the best week getting to know yourself.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community,